Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know what? The presidential primaries are in full swing. Ours coming up here on March 15th, and that means you got till February 16th to register to vote. How do I know this? Because I pay attention to my clerk, my Cook County clerk. David Orr wants you to know about what you need to know about voting, and he's here with me tonight on The Download. Clerk Orr, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
So what is the February 16th deadline? Why don't we start there?
Okay, first, that's the deadline for what we call traditional voter registration. Mm-hmm. That's where people can go to City Hall. Many kids go to libraries. Deputy registrars out there, that's when they turn in their stuff. So we encourage everyone to do that, okay? However, we've gone way beyond that in Illinois now. Because even starting on February 17th, is what's called grace period registration.
Okay. Now,
but I want to make it get it done by the 16th to be safe. But on the 17th, but there it's only to a few locations where someone can go in, because Illinois law has gotten much better over the last few years. You can go in and you can register and vote at the same time. And then come February 29th, when early voting starts, grace period will be taking place in all those sites too.
So you're giving me no incentive to go early. I might as well just wait until
the last day. Can make it harder. For example, if you right now, okay, you're thinking, what am I going to do to register? First of all, let's make it easy for you. You can register online. New law in Illinois, much better for young people. You grab your phone, grab your tablet.
Just do it right there.
You can register online right there. Now, there is one caveat there. Only people can register that way are folks that already have a driver's license or a state ID, but that's right. The vast majority of people.
Gosh, I remember when I was turning 18 and getting ready to vote, you'd have to go to, like, the grocery store. They'd set up, like, the table.
We did that.
Yeah, right, exactly. How far have we come?
When you were 18, what are you, 21 now? Way back, and I was around 91, 92,
we did
all those grocery things. Now, we've come a lot because we're using technology. Okay, so you can register online, which makes it real easy. So the difference between registering now before the 16th, you can stop at City Hall. You can stop at Evanston City Hall. You can stop in a library. But when it comes to the 17th, that'll only be downtown City of Chicago's offices or my offices downtown. So then when it comes to the 29th, when early voting starts, you can also go to all the early voting sites, 40-some in suburban Cook, 50 in the city of Chicago, and you can do what's called the grace period. And the kicker now, as you know, in Illinois, we now allow people to register and vote on election day.
Mm-hmm. And we saw that in the municipal election, yes.
And now it'll be in your local precinct, in your home precinct.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, as we start thinking about the future, I feel like we're 20 years away from doing it American Idol style, where we just, you know, like it's time to go and we upload the app and we press yes for Hillary Clinton.
I hope it's not that long.
Yeah, I mean, you see us moving in more of that direction.
We're definitely moving. Here's the thing. We're moving almost in two different directions. First of all, election equipment, a lot of the places around the country have backed away from some of it because of scandals. I think most of those they're not real scandals. Mm-hmm. They're misunderstandings of it. So we've got that view. The same time, we got all these people. I'm working with a group right now that believes it is imminent. They are going to have all these big campaigns. There's national money going into mm-hmm. it. But it'll be a while because we say, well, people bank by phone. But do we know how many scandals we have in the banking? Do we know how many data has been stolen? So banks, they can do that. They can afford that. If they make a mistake or somebody rips you off, they'll still pay for it.
Right.
An election,
you don't have
those options. You have one time, one day to do it. It's not banking every day. So the best minds are working on it. I do believe we'll get there, but we have to overcome. We have to find a way with the great technical experts in this country to make sure it is safe.
Well, I have to ask a question because it seems like incumbent politicians, it's almost against their, and I hate to say this, but it's almost against their interest to encourage technological advances because that means that everybody's going to vote. And there always has been this sort of suppression movement in this country that seems like once people get in office, they're like, you know what? Maybe you don't have to vote because incumbents, you know, actually get a better standing on the fact when voter turnout is low. So how do you make sure that this is financed and the resources are available for technological advancement in voting?
Well, I'd like to claim that we've been pretty successful. I'm an incumbent for a long time. We've been pretty successful in getting the incumbents to pass all these laws in Illinois. And it hasn't been all Democrats, although they've been much better at it. Because when you can convince people, I know when I first got interested in motor voter, there was a gentleman who was a Secretary of State of the state of Oregon. He was Republican. and he was supportive of that. That was way back in the early 90s. So, yes, there are people willing to do that. And right now there's a movement around the country called ERIC, and that's basically it's a group of states that band together to share data. Now, what they do with the sharing the data is they keep their list cleaner. All of a sudden, because I know as county clerk, we keep records of who dies in Cook County. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the nerve of these people that die elsewhere. Okay? I don't have those records. Right. So now we're joined, the legislature has voted to join ERIC. So now people that die in other states will have that information. People moved to other states. So instead of having 50,000 people on your rolls that have been long gone from Cook County or perhaps passed away, we can take those people off. We're also moving to where we can register them automatically when they move. None of this, all this paper and hassles and so forth, because that's what we're going on right now. Thousands and thousands of people that are either your listeners or have to register, they just registered last year.
Right,
they're going to register again because they move. We're changing all that. Now you move from Chicago to Bloomington, you keep your registration. We do it automatically, seamless. So that's the technology is really helping on those things.
Let me ask you, you know, as you and other clerks from other counties and around the country, with all the sort of changes and investments and technological advancements, are you seeing, in early voting especially, but are you seeing more turnout? Are you seeing in a more consistent way voting being just more?
Well, here's the problem. I'd have to say generally no. The people that have vote by mail in their states, they believe that has engendered a greater turnout. There's lots of controversy, and part of the controversy is because it's really hard to compare apples to apples. You know, for example, in this November, we'll get a 70% plus turnout mm-hmm. for president. But when it comes to gubernatorial elections,
sure.
we only might get 50%. And then, for example, this election coming up, there are not a lot of challenges on it. So when you're doing the analysis, you have to factor that in. In local elections, for example, sometimes we have over 60% of all the races with no contest. But it's really not that bad. It's maybe, well, there's three people running for Winnetka Park District. There are three people known. There's no complaints. So they're going to elect the same people and say, why go out? So to do the analysis carefully, you have to factor in all that. That's mm-hmm. why there's not really a lot of reliable studies. I do believe the chances, of course, dramatically increase of increasing the turnout if, in fact, you can eliminate some of these barriers like I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
So we try and make those accommodations.
Right.
Okay. We don't want to coddle people. We want to understand in a democracy we're one of the few in the world that votes on a workday. Okay. So that's why we have the early voting. So and that now everyone in Illinois can vote by mail. So these things are good because it gives legitimate people a chance to do things when you're afraid that your mom's going to be sick, you're going to have mm-hmm. to go out to help her, and you're going to miss Election Day. The main problem, I think, in our lack of voting has much more to do not with these things. Voter suppression will hurt, but not with these things. It's mostly our system has been kidnapped by the big money.
Yeah.
The big money means a couple of very dangerous things for democracy. Number one, it means eternal campaigns. They never stop.
Right, right.
You know, other countries have elections. Okay, we're going to have an election in 3 months,
right.
6 weeks. Boom. The Republican counties, for example, are getting ready. They were having campaigns. They were spending millions of dollars a year and a half before the election. So, for one, the campaigns are too long, and not that they even bring that much clarity to things. They're too long, and they cost a fortune. And the only reason you get candidates now running for president who get 1% of the vote in Iowa, and the only reason they're there is because they have billionaire backers.
They tried to go to the Supreme Court with this. The president's been involved a little bit in executive action rumors here and there, but there really doesn't seem there's a movement to change that.
Oh, I think there's an enormous movement to change that. It's just difficult because the court, in one of the worst decisions in the court's history, they basically said that money is speech. And if you ain't got it, you don't have any influence. And if you got billions, you can use that influence. Mm-hmm. A terrible decision, I think, by almost anybody.
Because we see the outcome. I mean, it continues, but you see now it's all super PACs and billions and billions of dollars. The normal person says, I want to run for office, even at the aldermanic level, is finding themselves, it just becomes completely not worth the money.
And so going back into my frustration with the future of our democracy, the long campaigns, the money it costs, which means regular people can't run, but even worse is that then money controls the agenda of government. That's why a lot of people don't vote. That helps to generate this cynicism, this frustration. Now, the other side, it's kind of good. These campaigns are bringing out people. They're bringing out some excitement. But if we don't handle the money part, I think we're in big trouble.
Let me ask you, you know, we saw in Iowa particularly the same stories again. I mean, Donald Trump has actually been great for the presidential run because he seems to speak whatever he says. You know, like, he doesn't have a filter. But he came after Ted Cruz right away. He said he's dirty tricks, dirty politics. He was lying and he sent out flyers that were misleading. He stole Iowa. Iowa's interesting, the caucus, because it's run by the parties. There is no Cook County clerk that says you can and cannot do this. When you see those stories coming out of as candidates, essentially, getting close to the line, what's your thought on that?
Well, first of all, to understand that when it comes to parties, and remember, our country, in some ways it's good, but in a lot of ways it's not, that this whole states' rights thing. So we allow all these different things to happen in states. So there they have a caucus thing. Other places, the parties may say, you know what, you, the Democratic Party, pays for the election. Now, here in Illinois, we have a series of elections. Everybody knows about it. They're all paid for. Hmm. They're run through the county clerks and others. Yeah.
So there are some places where the actual political parties pay for the elections.
That's right. And there was a big controversy. I think it was either in Nevada or Arizona about, well, we don't have enough money, so you got to pay for it. And then if the parties are paying for it, that, you know, anyway, it there's a lot of variance because we have different state things. But in the long run, while we want to engender kind of excitement and creativity at the states, we do need to have more universal understanding of the rules. It shouldn't be that in some states you can vote early and some states you can't. In some states, students, you know, have to go through all these hurdles, and some states they don't. But because of the political reality, and no offense, because Democrats in Chicago in the past certainly suppressed votes of those who didn't like. Now it seems to be the Republican Party around the country, for the most part, suppressing votes. So it's really difficult, and there's always those who want to win. Sometimes what the voters don't understand is there's enormous power in government.
And it used to be, I mean, the stories here, the Democratic machine stories are legendary. You know, getting, you know, two votes, three votes, using.
Don't I know? I had to fight against it all my life. Yes.
But I mean, it's notorious. But how are machines today, whether Democrat, Republican, suppressing vote? What do they do that are the tricks that we all know here in Chicago? What do they do to keep voters away from the polls?
Well, the single biggest thing in the country, I'll do that quickly, I think people know, is the voter ID. There's a lot of confusion about that. See, it's one thing to say, well, people should have IDs. I mean, everyone has to have an ID when they register. Mm-hmm. But to have a photo ID, the theory of that is so you can't impersonate me. You can't pretend like you're David Orr and come in and take my vote.
Right.
The difficulty is you need to have vigilance about fraud, absolutely, no matter where you are, because people want very desperately to win. But a lot of these movements around the state, and particularly in Texas and North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, these are blatant attempts to prevent some people from voting.
Like certain ethnic groups.
Well, in other words, you got to be careful. Like, for example, in Chicago, let's go back to the older days. Well, it used to be you might pay people to vote, okay? In particular, you might pay an African-American for their vote. Okay, come afterwards and get your $10. But if you remember Harold Washington and all that talk about the wink, okay, we'll take their damn money, but still vote for me. So then there was cases where precinct captains, instead of paying people to vote, pay them not to vote. Okay, you only get your money as long as I make sure you didn't vote. Now, you can only do that if you know, for example, that African Americans as a whole are going to vote this way. You can't do it with everybody else.
Right.
So a lot of your suppressing movements are when one side or the other wants to depress a certain group. So we still have to deal with all sorts of tricks. Mm. There's people that, particularly minority communities, will say if you go to vote in poorer neighborhoods that the police are going to be looking for people that have tickets that day. There's been people in Cook County and Chicago, even in recent years, that put out flyers with the wrong election date, the wrong place.
Right.
So fortunately, those are not that big.
Is that the kind of stuff that you come in on? Is that the clerk's office? You go, whoa, you can't put this flyer out.
Well,
What do you do?
We do not have a system to make people tell the truth. It's one of the worst things we have, and it's really hard. Other countries try and do more than we do, but we're always nervous about censorship. Other countries, most of them will say, you know, their elections are usually on weekends or a Sunday.
Three-day agenda, right.
That's right. Starting Friday, no more commercials, no nothing. So there can't be something last minute, some lie that you can't. Mm-hmm. And those tricks, they played that on me all the time. There'd be the flyer that goes out that said something terribly untrue on the Sunday before the election. How do you respond? So we can do more, but there are still people trying to play those tricks. But by and large, a lot of that stuff has been cleaned up.
To your efforts, I'm sure. The Cook County Clerk, David Orr.
We try.
You know, I'm fascinated. It's going to be, it's interesting because I'm sure between now and, you know, February 5th or March 15th when the primary, we will see more flyers. We will see more ads here in Illinois because, you know, right now it's still further out. So you're going to have your eyes peeled for us. We're going to let you take care of that. And we'll take care of other things.
You know, I can try and educate people. If there's something that's clearly breaking the law, we'll send it to the state's attorney's office. But a lot of this stuff is not necessarily breaking the law. So the role of the media, and you and others, I think, do a good job, you know, without trying to take a lot of sides. But when people make these charges, particularly in the important race, like the mm-hmm. state's attorney race coming up, vetting it a little bit, you know, trying to be a fair, impartial
fact check it.
You guys can do it.
Right.
That's hard for
us. You're seeing more and more
do.
Of that happen with debates and otherwise.
Yes.
That seems to be like a popular thing, fact check the debate. Well, maybe we should start fact checking the flyers.
Well,
I think we got a new segment, Pete. What do you think?
I think it'd be great, you know, or the campaign literature, the ads.
That.
Yeah.
So. All right. David Orr, Cook County Clerk, wants you to register by February 16th, but there's other options otherwise afterwards. But it gets tougher. And it probably is more of a pain in the butt for you.
Yeah, but that's okay. The point is we want to get everybody registered. We'll work hard. Not worried about that. We just want people to understand their options. And if they have questions, if you're in suburban Cook County, look at cookcountyclerk.com. Okay, and if you're in the city of Chicago, you can do a chicagoelections.com.
Okay.
There's a lot of information on those websites about election, you know, where you vote. If you're registered, if you're not even certain, you can call and you know, go through the little numbers, and they'll tell you that. So we just want to help as much as possible. There'll be a lot of questions to answer before then. But the bottom line is don't be afraid to ask. You've got three ways to vote now in Illinois. You can vote on Election Day. You can vote early, starting February 29th. And everybody, if they so choose, can vote by mail. And you can even request your, what we used to call absentee, you can request your mail ballot online now, too. Whip out your phone. Punch a few numbers.
You got it.
And it'll speed up your getting that mail ballot.
David Orr, thanks for being here.
You bet. Thank you.